Hey everybody, it's Sunny. You are listening to the iTunes feed. Go sign up for the Patreon, subbeacon.com, and check us out over there. This week on this thing that you're about to listen to right now, this episode, we're talking about Nightmare Alley. if you want to hear the episode about the Batman, huge hit, Batman, the Batman, go sign up for the Patreon. We'll be talking about that this Friday. We'll be talking about that this Friday. You'll hear that episode in like, I don't know, 10, 12 days, something like that. But if you want to hear it as soon as possible, sign up for the Subbeacon at the Patreon, subbeacon.com. And enjoy the bonus episodes there as well. Tons of good stuff. I don't know, man. You'll never hear that over here. So go sign up.
Is it a beast? Or is it a man? Because tonight, you will see him fail. Come on in and find out. Is he man or beast?
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, I normally say, how are we? But I believe we are saving the how are we's and how was our weekends for the bonus episode next Monday. Isn't that correct, Sonny?
That is my understanding as well. We've got a very special bonus episode coming up. I think people are really going to enjoy it. I know I enjoyed prepping for it.
Oh, so. Yes. So did cold. I.
So very cold.
Yes, yes, yes. We took a gamble with this decision. One of the things I was thinking about. Well, we'll save it.
Save it.
But this is going to be, you know what, though? I mean, but the suspense is going to be driving listeners crazy. And the whole point of this is like our version of the annual pledge drive. You want to find out what happened?
Well, but
you got to subscribe.
Well, but the problem is the folks will who don't subscribe will get the iTunes episode 2 weeks from now. That's not how it works, really. That's not really how it works, but it's fine.
You need it now. You got it's like it would be like having to wait for the Phantom Menace. You know what was that? What you know what that was like, JVL?
I was it was funny. I was reading the new Chuck Klosterman book on the 90s, and he has a couple pages on the Phantom Menace trailer reveal.
It was amazing.
People
the
going
trailer
to meet Joe
reveal
Black.
The fog. Right, the creatures coming out of the fog.
I had no idea what I was listening to.
No. Yes, like the people going to see, you guys did this, right? The people going to see Meet Joe Black and then like leaving the theater.
I don't
Sonny,
think that
we went to Meet
that?
Joe
no
Black
way.
To have anonymous gay sex. We did not go to see that movie just to watch a trailer for a Star Wars.
It was like that scene.
That's the last time you went to the DuPont 5.
It was like that scene in the Pelican Brief, you know, where the Supreme Court justice goes in and then Stanley Tucci strangles him. That was like us.
Yeah, that's why we went to see Meet Joe Black. Yeah, not because
that's way less embarrassing,
yeah,
frankly.
And we went through the whole movie to see it again because once was not enough. And I
you
what.
You
yeah.
thought Claire Forlani was going to take her shirt off.
Yeah,
you
she was
convinced
quite creamy.
That Claire Forlani was going to.
What rated? Well,
it's
you know. PG-13
movie.
You know,
yeah,
PG-13.
The
if it was, if it was
this
in the 80s.
Old days.
Oh, yeah. You could have seen Full Frontal back then. That was PG-13.
True.
What I remember, I'll tell you what I remember, because it was the trailer. It's not like you went to YouTube and could see the trailer, right? I mean, you just had to go
there
to the theater.
YouTube.
Right. You had to go there to see. Like, nobody would know until you saw it. So
the Uptown said on the giant marquee under Meet Joe Black, it said Phantom Menace trailer.
Do you remember like the girls who went there to see it as a romantic movie, like to see Meet Joe, and then it was like, who are these other? Who were all these other like nerds?
No, there were like, I do remember that. There were like, I don't know, 5 or 10, you know, 20-something girls who went for girls' night. And everybody else was neckbeard guy.
Everyone was Schmeep.
400 Harry Knowleses.
Everybody else was Schmeep Schmeep. And I remember, that's a JVL.
This is like Get the Spooky.
Yes.
This is
for me and JVL.
Every relationship has its own language.
Oh, I got another one for you, JVL. Limp Bizkit.
Limp
Bizkit. It's hard to explain that. It's hard to explain. Oh,
he's going to just go Limp Bizkit.
It's a good one. It's so, and there's no other way to say it. It's that good, and you can't. It's too much to explain. So, yeah. I don't know. Three people who might know that what that means.
Sickos.
Okay, it's sickos. Sickos. Yes, but I'll tell you what. Really quickly on the trailer, I remember wanting to be very excited, and the mist, as JVL mentions, and then the whole thing, right? It explodes like the music and everything else, and then you saw clips of Jake Lloyd, and you saw. Jar Jar Binks get his tongue stuck in the electrical rays. And then we saw it again at the end. And I remember trying to convince myself, that looks interesting.
But then there was bad. Darth Maul with the double lightsaber.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, then that's good. I was like,
come on, we blacked out at that. Because when he put it on, remember, in that scene, Ray Park is staring straight at the camera. One side goes out.
All right.
And then the other side
comes
double
out.
Double lightsaber.
Mind blown. Mind blown.
Not the only thing.
Lightsaber.
And, not the only thing that was blown.
I don't think anybody could have believed that Jake Lloyd would have been an integral part of that movie.
In what way?
But everyone knew he was going to be Anakin. He was in all the posters.
Yes. But we assumed that he would simply be dragged from scene to scene like a piece of furniture. Not that he'd be a character with lines of dialogue, but he would be the MacGuffin.
I was prepared for, I just wasn't prepared for the acting per se, and I feel bad for him. I've read about his.
It was not fair to him.
What happened to him was not fair to him.
So you rub a lamp, and an evil genie comes out, and he's going to turn you.
He's got glasses, and he says, "I have to resurrect my film franchise, but I need a sacrifice."
He's going to turn you into either Jake Lloyd or Steve Bartman.
Oh wow!
Which of those two would you rather be?
Ooh. Well, no, and I'd be Jake Lloyd because you get a check unless your parents absconded with the check. I can't remember what happened.
Like you could make the case for being Jake Lloyd because Jake Lloyd at least can do the festival circuit for the rest of his life. Right?
Yeah,
he can do that.
Yeah, and there might be people who will over time people are like, hey, you know what? I felt
bad for the Ahmed Best. Reappraisal has already happened. You guys saw this, right? How like the guy who played Jar Jar Binks.
Oh.
The guy who played Jar Jar Binks, and like got death threats from Star Wars fans for years, has basically been reappraised and he's been accepted into the fold and like everybody feels really bad for how they treated him.
In 2042, that's going to happen with Rose.
But that already has happened with like there are factions now. There are more factions in the Star Wars universe than there used to be, I think.
Okay. Well,
but Sonny, I would rather be Jake Lloyd.
Yes.
Because Bartman had to go into protective custody, right?
Yeah, he was already an old dude, I mean,
life was over.
Yeah, so. I don't know.
He was like 25, I think.
I don't
he was a 20 something.
He didn't look he looks like this average schmo, and I mean I don't know what you do with yourself at that point, except for if you do want to, you'd have to
you
go
don't
to
live
some,
in Chicago.
No, you'd have to go. Yeah. Who are they playing against? Go to that city.
Whatever happened to that shithead Jeffrey Mayer? Remind me?
Oh, so you're an Orioles fan, so that's Orioles. Why, right? Oh, so Jeffrey Mayer is the kid who, in the fall of 1997...
It's either 96 leaned, or 97.
I know that it was 97.
He leaned...
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, not fall of 96, yes, because it was right after I watched that game after graduating from college. He leaned over and stole the home run ball to lift the Yankees over the
The Orioles.
Oh, right.
And the outfielder like points up immediately. Yeah. Like somebody has reached into the field of play and interfered with this ball.
That's right.
And the umpires are like, home run.
No, but you're missing the key part of this. When the Orioles outfielder does that, young Jeffrey Mayer, like he's Bobby Heenan or something from professional wrestling, looks around with this innocent what are you talking about? I didn't do anything.
Oh, right.
This whole full act, as if he was, raised from the womb to be an asshole Yankee fan. And by age 10, had already figured out how to do it.
He mastered it.
Do you remember who loved Jeffrey Mayer? David Tell.
Oh, David Tell. Editor. Well, He was a Yankee jerkwad.
Yeah. Wonderful human being, but a degenerate Yankees fan who just loved it.
Yeah, came in through the clutch. Okay, Sonny, you wanted to talk about, this was on Twitter, apparently the Oscars before the show, they're going to get the people involved.
And there's going to be a people's vote.
That's so important.
Explain.
I don't understand exactly how it works because it's not like they have a poll. They don't have like a, Twitter poll at the Academy Awards Oscar page. But if you use a hashtag and you say the name of the movie that you like, whoever gets the most mentions is going to, win these awards. And I don't think they're actual statues. I think it's like
is it like the People's Choice Award?
Yes. It's kind of. It's like the MTV Blockbuster Awards right? It's like the People's Choice Blockbuster
best,
MTV
best
Awards.
Best kissing scene. Remember that one? Best kissing
and it's like hashtag. Hashtag most tongue you. In the mouth.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then you pick the movie, right?
Well, this sounds like my kind of Oscars.
So the Academy has done this because they're freaked out because Spider-Man No Way Home only got one nomination.
What was it
like,
for?
Oh,
special effects?
Special effects, yeah. And they're like, oh, nobody's going to watch the show because it's, a bunch of movies nobody's heard of. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Academy does this every so often. They freak out. Like, so after The Dark Knight did not get a Best Picture nomination, after The Dark Knight was obviously robbed of a Best Picture nomination in 2008, right?
Yeah.
The Academy was like, all right, we're expanding the number of Best Picture nominations to 10. There will be 10 Best Picture nominees. And then they tweaked it again. So it was like as many as 10. But, it'd have to be somewhere between 5 and 10. And this year, they went back to it has to be 10. But anyway, like the
lot.
Point is, they get freaked out.
Movies.
They get freaked out. They're like, oh, nobody's going to watch these movies because, we're not picking enough popular movies. And I find the whole thing weird. I find the whole thing slightly weird and like so prone to gaming as to be not what's even the point. So, I mean, like the two number one contenders right now are the terrible Cinderella movie that came out on Amazon.
Camilla Cabello
and the drag racing guy.
Please say Snyder Cut. Please say Snyder Cut.
No, Snyder Cut, not eligible. Snyder Cut, not eligible.
Did it make
because
the window?
Because you cannot nominate a director's cut of a film. This is actually a rule. You cannot nominate a director's cut that comes out after the original cut cannot be nominated.
We have rules for the People's Choice tweeting hashtag awards.
JVL, you were very close. You were very close because the number two option, Army of the Dead.
The Zack Snyder
zombie Las Vegas heist epic Army of the Dead. So anyway, but like, Spider-Man No Way Home. Yeah. Spider-Man No Way Home nowhere in the conversation. There are no organized campaigns to get this. And like the Academy has made an enormous mistake. A, by doing this through Twitter because Twitter is the devil's playground. But B, just doing it at all. Like what are the other movies that are nominated? One of them is Dune, which is the second biggest box office hit of the year. I think you could say fairly or the second biggest domestic in terms of domestic and it grossed $400 million worldwide. That is nothing to sneeze at in today's dollars. Not if you're not including the Marvel movies, if you're not including like Shang-Chi and
so that's Black like Widow not and... including a whole bunch of other movies is what
right,
you're saying.
Well, but that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Like the reason okay. I'm saying reasonable picks here. Reasonable picks. They're not going to pick the Fast and the Furious movie, right? They're gonna pick Dune. But then also like Don't Look Up, right? Don't Look Up is the Netflix
global
warming as but instead it's comets crashing into the earth. Mm-hmm. It's super political and it's everything is. Everything is dumb and bad. Right. But that movie, that's the second most popular movie in Netflix history. Okay? That's the second most popular movie in Netflix history after Red Notice. Remember Red Notice? That's the number one. But Don't Look Up, number two. So, like, lots of people have seen the movies that have been nominated for Best Picture, just not the biggest movie of, the last half decade.
I gotta say, in every case,
this is so weird.
People are always fighting the last war. The changes never were. I mean, when we went to 10 nominees, what it meant was we got another four movies that nobody had ever seen.
Yes, that's true-ish, except like 3 years. So 2 or 3 years ago, Joker got nominated, right? Joker grossed $1 billion. Mm-hmm. That was the one. That was a big hit.
Didn't win, did it?
No, it didn't win. Well, none of these movies are ever going to win. None of these movies are ever going to win Best Picture. Spider-Man, No Way Home, even if it got nominated, movies. It was never going to win Best Picture. Joker, not going to win Best Picture. Like, it's going to be, Moonlight or whatever.
So is the... Explain to me...
Not Moonfall.
The Cinderella and the Army of the Dead or whatever that is, whatever the movie is. Is this like... Do you remember the year in American Idol when there was an organized campaign to keep the worst kid in it? There's kid.
Oh, no. Yes.
British Kendaya or something.
Never watched America.
Yes, it was like Zendaya, but it wasn't Zendaya.
So he was like some 17-year-old Indian kid who could not hold a tune in a bucket.
Right.
And there was an organized campaign among the online types to keep him in as a troll of American Idol. And it got very uncomfortable for the producers of American Idol after like 7 weeks of this.
Sanjaya. His name was Sanjaya.
Because they're sending home people who are pretty good singers and this kid is still there. He doesn't want to be there, right? He's embarrassed by it. Like, he's got to keep singing and embarrassing himself.
But
and
the people have chosen some.
So is that what this thing is with Cinderella and the Zack Snyder?
No, because all those...
It's genuine. It's genuine.
No, yeah, it's genuine. Like people, there are people who really love that terrible Cinderella movie, and there are people who really love that great Zack Snyder movie, and like
either of those things are true.
They're waging war on the digital battleground.
I would have said the Cinderella
most important
movie
great with, power conflict of our moment.
I would have said the Cinderella movie with Lily James.
I'm just surprised there's no other cult following. Movie that that inspired like why those two what is that's the cult
because,
following of
because
those
this is,
two
but
unless
this
it's
is,
a troll
no
of...
no but this is the problem with Twitter is that like a very small number of people if you have 1,000 people voting 20 times a day because you can vote as many as 20 times
a
day
come on
you have 1,000 people voting 20 times a day that's 20,000 votes
sick.
And there's only like
that's
there's
sick.
Only you know there's only gonna be a couple hundred thousand votes for either of these things because nobody cares about this dumb and this is the big problem. This is the big problem, right? The Academy is trying to get people who have stopped watching the show to come back. They were like, we need to get people, we need popular movies to get people to come back and watch the show. And one of the other things that they've done is they've decided to move 8 of the awards off air. And they're gonna award them before the show.
Yeah, they don't want normal people up on stage.
So they don't want normal people. But some of
only
but,
pretty
but
people.
Here are some of the statues that they're not gonna be giving out live on the air. Uh-huh. Best editing. Best score. Mm-hmm. Best score. How can you have an
Have you
like,
seen the people who write scores, Sonny?
But that's not the point.
They
the
look
point
like
is,
us.
Like, if you want to have a show where people are like, what's the point of an award show if you're not going to show the awards? If you're not going to show the Lifetime Achievement Awards to Samuel L. Jackson, you don't want Sam Jackson
are
giving
you,
a speech
you're say,
at your
wait,
at your on,
on
your show.
Hold on, you're saying the Lifetime Achievement is not being shown?
No, they haven't done it in years. They haven't done it in like a decade. They like haven't shown the lifetime achievement.
The Irving
awards.
Thalberg, the Irving
yeah,
Thalberg.
Yeah, no, those are all off site. Those are all like days
That's
before.
Horrible.
Like why would you bother giving Samuel L. Jackson a lifetime achievement award if he's not going to give a speech live on your if he's not going to drive
no,
a motherfucking snakes bomb on your show live on the air? Why would you even
that's
bother
sad.
With that? Like what's
that's,
the point?
That's really
I like so this what's is happening? So this is the problem. Is it I don't think they have any idea what they're doing with the show. They really need to. If I can get philosophical for a moment,
sure.
They need to, like J.R.R. Tolkien had the elves do. They need to go west and diminish, let the award show become a shell of itself and maintain
they need
its
to get
dignity
on the little boat.
Instead of this blockbuster People's Choice nonsense.
So
and rant,
I love,
slash rant.
I love JBL. The idea that the old people who run the Academy Awards have decided that the way to get the youngs back watching it is, well, we'll go on to the Twitter, which A, something the youngs have all left.
Right.
But B, the idea that then they'll have to watch our show to find out who won, not understanding that 5 seconds after they announce who won, it'll just be on Twitter.
Yeah.
Anybody
yeah.
who wants to find it can just say they're not going to watch the show. They'll watch Twitter
right.
instead of seeing it. It's so perfect. But yes, this is, look, these things should go back to being what they used to be, which is an industry confab.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all it is.
Like back
get it off TV. Go
I
back
would
to being
I would love to have
thing.
Seen the ones from like the 50s and 60s. I think it would have been very interesting to see that. Question, are there hosts for this? Who are they?
There's three hosts. There's Amy Schumer.
She's
if you're
funny.
Gonna do this, just have sure. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler do it. Like they did,
right.
did the Emmys
right.
for a bunch of years.
Wonderful.
They were fine.
Wonderful.
But like wonderful. this weird tripartite. Oh, Wanda Sykes is the other.
Wanda Sykes
is actually pretty funny.
Wanda Sykes is funny.
Wanda Sykes
is
pretty funny.
It's crazy.
But yeah. like if you're gonna do like each one gets an hour and they're each gonna like headline the hour. The whole thing is so
yeah,
dumb.
I just don't.
Nobody cares about the hosts. Nobody cares about the montages. Nobody cares about the musical numbers.
Yes.
Just give us all we want are the awards.
What do you think the odds are that they pick their hosts based on follower count on Twitter?
It's not small. The chances are not small.
In
this
case,
Wanda Sykes has 1.6 million Twitter follows, so...
They should just have Wanda Sykes do the whole show, because again, Wanda Sykes is actually funny. Like, Wanda Sykes is a you know, an actual... Could actually host. Have Vic Mattis do it.
Oh, I do it. I have almost 7,500 followers.
MC Vic Mattis.
Go back to the Twitter thing that they're doing, right? For the people to decide. Isn't there a thing like best scene? Is that true? Best scenes? You get to add what your
like,
best.
I can't remember. It's some. Mm-hmm. It's some dumb. It's like best. Glorious moment in filmmaking.
Oh, okay,
moments
good. I'll do hashtag Léa Seydoux French Dispatch. Would that work? Yeah.
There you go.
That's good.
You should start a viral campaign Reddit.
Inglorious black and white.
4chan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Oh, 4chan.
Say 4chan's a little more.
Yeah. Good. Do you remember every time I think about the People's Choice Award, the Blockbuster Award, all I can think about is Mike Myers in the Actor's Studio, because it's the kind of thing that SNL would have spoofed, and they've done spoofs of the Actor's Studio. But when he, and Mike Myers is great, he's amazing. He's a great talent. There's no question. He's a great talent. But when James Lipton has to read, you know, the intro before he comes out, and he lists like all the characters he's played, fat bastard, you know, and then it's like, and winner of the Blockbuster Entertainment Award, and then,
winner of the Nickelodeon Kids Favorite Award, 2007.
Right. That's what it was. So,
Michael Myers, how did it feel to be slimed?
Right. That's it. Scrumptily. What was the word that Will Ferrell said? Scrumptilicious or something like that?
Scrumptiliumptious.
Like yes. Okay.
The best one of those on SNL was the when Billy Bob Thornton was hosting, and Will Ferrell kept asking questions about Armageddon. And he was like, William Robert Thornton, in 1997, you were in the greatest film in the history of cinema. Armageddon. And it's like five questions in a row, and eventually Billy Bob's like, why do you keep asking me about this movie? It sucked. I hated it. I just, that's That's what I think about every time.
Not Sling Blade. And the MTV Choice Award, that's actually those are two different awards, right? I mean, the MTV one was the Moon Man?
Well, there was the MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah, or the Pop
Award. And then
there
was the MTV Music Video Awards. Oh, right, those are two different
VMAs.
The VMAs. Yes.
But the Movie Awards were that.
The popcorn and the astronaut with the flag.
That's right. And that's the one where, I mean, I made a joke earlier, but that really was like.
The best kiss. It was Drew Barrymore and some. It's all, the best kiss is always like two
girls.
Yes,
but wasn't it cruel? It was Cruel Intentions, right? That one.
It ought to have been.
With the two. With
Sarah Michelle Gellar and like Selma
Blair. Yeah, that was a very good. That movie did so well on the quadrants. That is a great movie. It was off the charts. Speaking of which, over the weekend, Uncharted took the top spot. Top spot at the box office.
You almost had it.
$44 million, followed by Dog. I don't know what that is. With $14.9 million, and in third place, Spider-Man No Way Home with $7.5 million. Tom Holland in first and third place.
It's interesting.
Yes,
you know,
box office thoughts, Sonny.
Do you remember the movie that dethroned Titanic from the number one spot at the box office?
Man in the Iron Mask.
Man in the Iron Mask. Leonardo DiCaprio's follow-up film to that. So
Impressive, JVL.
It's not exactly the same because Spider-Man No Way Home hasn't been number one this whole time, obviously.
Right.
A couple other things have come in and out, but it is still very much at the top of the box office. In terms of,
yeah, I believe they rushed Man in the Iron Mask out specifically to capitalize on Titanic. Like it was not slotted
Coattails,
until
Titanic
much later.
Yeah.
But they figured, look, there's Leonardo mania.
First off, this movie's terrible. Second off, we've got Leonardo DiCaprio mania.
Because there was a while, like The Beach, right, is another one of those movies where just like it's got Leonardo, just get out there.
There was much excitement about it, and I didn't see it. And the reason I didn't see it is because the trailer looks interesting, but it was because JVL, much like other movies that I haven't seen, he'll just give me the rundown and tell me, and it sounds awful, and I won't see it. So this was the case because
Good quadrant movie.
You described, what was that, Sonny?
It's a good quadrant movie.
Oh, okay. The only thing I remember. Okay. I'll just leave it at that. Hold on, I'll be right back. The Daily Motion beach scenes.
No, it's only Oleana girl. What's her name?
Yeah, the French girl, the hot French girl who takes her top off.
No, ooh. The vaguely androgynous girl who's in French.
Oh, Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton is the one. Yeah, you don't want any of that.
I'm so confused.
JVL,
you told me.
Not exclusively it, my friend.
You told me there was like a video game sequence?
Yes.
Oh.
That movie. So first off, that was not a movie that got rushed out because Leonardo was popular. That was a movie that it was like his big follow-up to Titanic. Mm-hmm. That came out in 2000, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or 2001. And it was also
Danny Boyle, right?
Follow up to not Trainspotting, but I guess A Life Less Ordinary.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it was like the movie that was supposed to get him back on track and didn't. He was off track until 28 Days Later. That was like Leo's next big movie. I think he got like $20 million for it or something. Like it was the movie failed. The movie failed because it had the weight of like enormous expectations on it. But it is there are several notable things about it. First of all, it's a good movie. I enjoy it. Second off, it was based on the book by Alex Garland, who I think co-wrote the script. And Alex Garland, of course, went on to make Ex Machina and Devs. He was the showrunner on that. But also he wrote the Judge Dredd reboot, remake. Anyway, I like Alex Garland a lot. I think he's exceptionally talented.
Really?
Sunshine was the other one. He wrote Danny Boyle's Sunshine. Yeah. Yeah.
Related to box office thoughts, theater thoughts, JVL, you had some big theater thoughts and concerns. What's going on?
It all then petered out, as it turns out. So
what happened?
Early this week, I was looking around for things to go to see this weekend, and both of the theaters near me, an AMC and an Alamo, had nothing scheduled. They had a total of four showings scheduled for this weekend. And I just couldn't figure out what was going on. But now, right before we got on the air, it turns out they're fully booked up. So
yeah, I was gonna say when we were chatting the other day, you should probably check on Monday or Tuesday because a lot of the times they don't have the weekend movies.
So they just didn't provide a lineup until okay. But you were discussing, Sonny, the lineup of movies. Everything's been pushed back again.
Some stuff has been pushed back. Except
The Batman.
The Batman, which is coming out, and The Batman is going to have theaters to itself for like a month.
Yeah.
Seems to be the future. Every comic book movie is going to get a month of exclusive runs in the theater, and that's what we're going to have for the rest of our
lives. It also has an exclusive tie-in with Little Caesars, where they
gotten the Batman pizza yet?
It's not just a pizza.
Pizza slash calzone?
It's a pizza slash calzone in the shape kind of a bat, I guess. It's happening in my house.
It's in the shape of a bat.
You have to get it. I need a review.
It's in the shape of a bat, like from the clone tanks from Alien Resurrection.
Yes.
When you get the pizza, it says, kill me. It says, kill me. That's what happens to it.
That's a strange tie-in to the Batman.
It looks terrible. It looks. Pizza? Have you seen like the IRL pictures of it? House.
Yeah, do you mean the pizza or the movie?
The pizza. The pizza slash calzone.
Do you think it looks worse
shaped
than
like
the movie?
A bat signal? Well, the movie looks amazing. Matt Reeves. You like those Planet of the Apes movies, don't you?
No.
I watched the trailer and I thought,
you like Cloverfield? Didn't you?
No.
But this has got the Riddler in it. It's going to be, it's really dark. I mean, it was very dark.
It looks dark, all right.
Extremely dark.
Looks like a David Fincher movie.
It's just like, yes, that's right. Okay, so
I just hope they tell us how he became the Batman, though, because I just feel like people don't really understand.
One day they're going to throw a curveball, and Martha and Thomas Wayne are going to be alive when he's like a 40-year-old man. He's going to have to like go talk to his mom and dad.
Yeah, they were hiding out all this time. Who is the Alfred this time?
It's Andy Serkis.
Serkis.
Yeah.
Goodness. Okay. Andy Serkis. Well, we were talking about Oscars earlier, and we are talking about Oscars in a way for the main part of our show. This week we're discussing Nightmare Alley, which has been nominated for Best Picture, Sonny?
Best Picture, Best Production Design.
That's right.
Maybe cinematography. Wow.
So multiple noms. Stuff, yeah. Multiple noms.
It's got four or five noms.
This is a remake of a 1947 movie that starred Tyrone Power.
It's a new adaptation of the 1946 novel by James William Gresham.
Okay, yes.
I'm actually reading the book right now because I quite enjoyed both this version and the 1947 version.
Okay, is the 1947 version, is it the same story, same ending, everything's the same?
Well,
less graphic, I assume?
Same basic story, less graphic.
Less graphic.
But the ending is actually very different.
Okay, we'll save that for a second here. Anyway, so this is the movie we're talking about this week, directed by Guillermo del Toro. I thought about it, but I still think The Revenant is a better movie, although I did like this more than Roma. Sonny, how about a big boy review?
You son of a bitch. Not all Hispanic directors are the same, Vic. How dare you? Not all Mexican directors are the same.
I worked on that one, too. I actually had to, like, find
there was the movies. Two different ones. I did.
That was Cuarón.
Did a good job.
Inarritu.
All right. So Nightmare Alley, as Vic said, is directed by Guillermo del Toro. And the knock on Guillermo del Toro has always been that he is a great set designer, but not necessarily a great filmmaker, not necessarily a great director. And I think that is a fair knock a lot of the time. I think Pan's Labyrinth is a great movie, but both of the Hellboys are better looking than they are films. And same goes for The Shape of Water, which is a movie I didn't really like at all, but neither here nor there. But I think this is his best movie since Pan's Labyrinth. It stars Bradley Cooper as Stanton Carlisle, who is a drifter who hooks up with a circus sideshow carnival act while he's doing it, he learns the tricks of the trade. He learns, you know, the importance of reading people and blah, blah, blah. And how to scam people, most importantly. But he also learns the most important thing that he learns is the secret of creating a geek show. How to create a geek show. He learns this from Willem Dafoe, who is playing like the head of the carnival. And Willem Dafoe is fantastic in this. Willem Dafoe, good year. Willem Dafoe,
very good year. He's great.
He's been interesting. Anyway, long story short, Stanton Carlisle becomes the great Stanton up in the metropolis of Buffalo after leaving the circus with his lady friend Rooney Mara. Goes up there, starts working the high society. Starts, you know, scamming them out of money and doing a spook show with them, and hooks up with a psychiatrist named Lilith, Dr. Lilith Ritter, very biblical name, little on the nose, perhaps. But she is played by Cate Blanchett, the great Cate Blanchett,
who one of the great actresses of our time.
One of the singular talents of our time, Cate Blanchett. The question becomes, who is scamming who? So there are actually two versions of this movie out. There's a color one that you can watch that on online. There was also a black and white one that was playing in theaters.
I was so confused, and I thought I could have sworn people were talking about this thing in black and white.
So I've seen both. I saw the color version via a streaming link when it was doing the, you know, award season rounds, and I thought it was fine. I thought it was okay. And then I saw it in theaters in the black and white cut, and I was much more impressed by it. I was much more blown away. The light and the color. There's something to be said for seeing Bradley Cooper's eyes totally drained of color, because he has a very strange affect. He has kind of I don't want to say he has dead eyes, because that's not right, but he has eyes that can go dead. And when he is doing that kind of dead-eyed stare into the camera on a giant screen in black and white, it is something else.
Wow.
I don't know. I like this movie a lot. I thought it gets to something very real about humanity and our desire to fool not only others but ourselves. And I think that it does a very good job of demonstrating some of the rot underlying much of our lives.
Sorry, could you unpack that?
No, I can't. The performances in this film, all fantastic. I love Bradley Cooper. I think he is always exceptionally good.
Great Georgetown performer.
That's right. Sorry. He's from from the DC. Went to school in DC.
Yeah, that's right. A couple years younger than me and Salissa.
Anyway, I quite enjoy this movie. I think it is very good, and it is like other Guillermo del Toro movies in that it has these really brutal moments of violence, these like flashes and punctuations of like extreme gore, and sometimes I don't think he earns that. Like I don't think he really earned it in The Shape of Water, which is a movie that was kind of too hopeful for what he was doing there. And I don't think he really earned it in Crimson Peak either, which had these like very flashy moments of super gory violence. But here they worked perfectly, I thought. I thought they drove home the kind of viciousness at the heart of it. So you mentioned the end. I mean, do we want to wait to talk about the end? Or
maybe, yeah, wait a little bit. Let's thank you, by the way, Sonny. That was very
good. So anyway, I liked it a lot. I like this movie a lot. If you have a chance to catch the black and white version, you should. I imagine they'll release that on disc, but, you know, who knows?
JVL, I assume you, like me, did not see the earlier version or read the book or knew what this was about?
No idea.
Okay, you jumped right in then. Okay,
when good. You guys said Nightmare Alley, I thought we were watching a slasher flick.
I wasn't sure either. What did you think?
Didn't like it.
Oh, in what sense?
I'm sorry. Too dark. The world is a dark enough place right now. I do not need to go down Heart of Darkness, the Great Depression version. The Great Depression carny version of Heart of Darkness. I don't need that in my life.
I know. You have very strong feelings on carnies, too.
But that's just me.
Wait, you don't like carnies?
So, Victorino, were you... Did you... Carny, small hands.
Yes, very good.
Did you follow it all, Vic?
Did I follow it all?
Yeah.
I thought so, yes.
He's not actually talking to the dead people. Did you get? Did you pick that up on that?
So mean, so mean. Well, if you want to know what my quadrant score, and we'll flip back to you, because obviously I'll be quick. I like this movie. But as quadrant.
You are such a mystery.
Quadrant. It really depends. Sometimes the quadrants take on a very sort of Sotomayor interpretation, and other days it's very Stephen Alito, Samuel Alito. So I think Stephen's the son. But here we go. The plot was an A. I got it. I there was no confusion by me.
Pretty straightforward.
Except for the end and the recording device, but clearly he was the mark. Okay. They're always looking for the mark. He's the mark. She's playing him. She recorded and blackmailed because then the money's actually just singles and stuff like that, which could be useful in certain settings, but it's not helpful for him and the whole deal. Okay. Duration was a C. It's a 2.5 hour movie, although it did. There are certain movies that felt much longer and were shorter, yeah. Right? I feel like Moonfall was that way for me. I can't remember anything further back anymore. action violence. I give it an A. You're right. It's graphic for the scenes that they're... You know why? Because it's interesting and it's... Like, Moonfall has a lot of action. It's boring as fuck, okay? Because it's just... Whatever. This thing... Richard Jennings is his name?
Practical effects.
I think he's missing his nose.
Well, you hear it, the crunch, and then when you look at it, it's like punching... It's like doing the, you know, palm!
Yes.
Palm up to the nose!
Yeah.
Drove it right into his brain.
It's... Yes. Okay. And of course, you ripped the chicken's head off in the beginning there. I mean, it's all very, you know, visceral, the chicken's head being ripped off.
Yeah.
Right? But I do have a question. It could have gotten an A+, but I have great concern over this, which is how much of the blood and the violence and the fire is CGI? I think that's CGI fire, man. I think
in the house, 100%.
Angelina Jolie.
That's CGI.
Angelina Jolie.
100%.
If you don't like CGI fire, don't watch last episode of Reacher. Oh. By the way,
look, with CGI, honestly, I don't know.
Lots of CGI.
I don't know anything about insurance rates on productions, mm-hmm. but I have to imagine that the money you can save on insurance on a production by not doing practical fire has to be enormous.
But it's got to be better than this. It's just like, okay, you've lost me. I mean, I know it. I know the whole thing.
I'm sorry,
is fake.
Victorino, go to sex nudity.
Oh, wait, hold on, and like. Give me a movie like Backdraft. Oh, pyrotechnics.
You want to be able to feel the flame coming
off
the screen.
No, it's a creature. It's alive. It's breathing. Sex nudity is a D. There's a bathtub scene, but, you know, Rooney Mara is in it. It's rated R. Come on, you could do better. Okay. So the overall grade is about a B.
D?
Oh, no. A, C, A, D gives you about a B-. 2.25.
That's holding on. That is barely holding on.
It is
B minus.
You could say it's a C+, but I'll give it a C. I'll give it a B minus. I thought it's original. Well, it's not original, but
and
for me, it was refreshing.
And you're like,
7.5,
and I
that's
like
a B
it.
Minus.
Yeah, 2.25.
It's a B minus.
But
and I like it.
I did like it. It's different than a superhero movie. That was good. You know, it's not this crazy thing about the moon.
It was real.
It
was
real
and human. Real.
And you know
what? It was
real
and human because we're all wicked on the inside,
Kate,
JVL. I don't understand.
Kate is with
Catholic.
JVL. Kate did not. Kate watched it with me. She's with JVL. She said she was up all night. I slept like a baby. Maybe it was the jet lag. Oh, there's a little teaser for you. But it was, I was totally fine with it. And it's dark. But you know what? Card. I mean, it's probably the way it really was back in the 30s. By the way, really quickly, and I want to flip to in the Carney world. I want to flip back to JVL on this. You know, the world of carnies and circuses. That's basically where like the hamburger became popular. And but Five Guys, it was not. But that's where it's like a little beef patty between two slices of bread. Here you go. You know, for
is
a
that
nickel.
True? Is that
yeah.
what
it started off? I mean, they would serve them outside
of factories.
So it wasn't
beef, right? I mean, what was it, right?
It's some form of it's meat. It's a meat product.
Was it,
it's you
was
know
it
meat.
Dead
it's,
dwarf?
It's not prime. It's dead
dwarf.
Did you say dead
midgets,
dwarves?
The midgets who like got used up.
They grinded them.
The
yes, they
show?
Grinded them. The manimal.
Chuck them in the meat grinder.
The opium addict manimal. They ground. They grind them in the end. Okay, so JVL. I like
that's the, what the monkey that's what the monkey's turning.
Yes, that's what he's turning. You don't want to know. You don't want to know it's in there. So the cast, nothing. It was just not. It was. Did you like it?
I don't need Dark Knight. Look, I understand. Okay. I understand perfectly well why people would like it. It is very noirish.
Yeah, this is like a very. It's based on a very famous classic noir.
Yeah, like, almost like gothic, right? You know, yeah. And
I could see this in black and white.
Yeah. You know, Willem Dafoe is fantastic in it. Bradley Cooper is very, very good. The single thing I liked most about it is how we go almost 15 minutes without Bradley Cooper speaking.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he just, people keep talking to him and he doesn't respond to anybody. He sort of silently nods, or he waits mm-hmm. for some other event to happen mm-hmm. so he doesn't have to respond because he's reading the room. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Toni Collette's great. David Strathairn is great.
Toni Collette. David Strathairn.
David Strathairn is fantastic.
Mary Steenburgen.
Mary Steenburgen is good. But I
thought she was Mary Todd Lincoln in this. It was very Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yeah. I will say this. Can we talk about the end now or no?
Okay.
Sure. We can talk about the end.
The denouement was telegraphed so completely that I feel like there's a balance that, right? So the whole movie really hangs on the ending, right? The message, everything about the movie has to be complete with the ending, is completed by the ending. Is it all right for me to really spoil things, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so
sure.
So this carnival.
It's on HBO Max and Hulu. If people want to watch it, stop listening, go watch
this
it.
This carnival has an act called the Geek. The Geek is this half-man, half-animal creature who is kept in a cage. And what we find out is that he's just a drunk. And the guy who runs the carnival finds a drunk and tricks him into becoming imprisoned and becoming a slave.
And they lace the booze even with
giving him booze is laced with an opiate.
Like opium.
And a geek dies, and then you got to find a new geek. You got to convince some other idiot alcoholic to become a geek. And at the very end of this movie, Bradley Cooper's character, who has insisted that he would never touch alcohol, turns out the reason he doesn't touch alcohol is because his dad was an alcoholic. And the minute he touches alcohol, he himself becomes an alcoholic. And then he becomes the geek at the end. And there is a delicate balance between having to earn a twist and also have the twist hit you in a way that surprises you. But then after you've seen it, it makes sense, right? This is This is a movie that is heavily dependent upon its twist ending landing. And the minute Bradley Cooper goes and shares a cigarette with the geek, which happens in like minute 25 of the movie, I thought to myself, oh, he's going to wind up in the cage at the end.
No, I did not think that at all. I'm hoping for him to be good and free.
And then when he and Willem Dafoe have this long conversation about how do you trick somebody into becoming a geek? I was like, oh, right. Yeah, that's because you're going to trick.
You're amazing. I did not know this at all until the end. And he said, wait, what? Okay, that was my reaction.
Yeah, whatever. That's small. But that's not my real complaint. My real complaint is just that I don't need this level of job. I mean, you know, we're taping this show, and Ukraine is being invaded, and hundreds of thousands of people are going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need more darkness in my life right now. So that's how.
So Jackass next week.
I guess maybe Jackass is what
that's even darker.
What the world needs.
That's even darker. Yeah. You will not want to live after that.
I understand that. So since we're talking about the ending, so the ending in this movie is much closer to the book. My understanding. I haven't finished the book yet, but it hews pretty closely to the end of the book. The original movie starring Tyrone Power has a very different ending. Oh. Where, first off, there is no big speech about how you make a geek. I might be wrong about that, but it is not as like drawn out and deliberate as the big, you know, kind of lunch counter
question.
Is
this a movie, the original, that you can see on Amazon?
It's on Criterion Channel. It might be available for rental on Amazon. I don't know, but it's on the Criterion Channel, or at least it was okay. as of last month. Yeah. Maybe it's not anymore, but the it's on. It is available on streaming if you are one of the 100,000 people who subscribe to the Criterion channel. So in the first movie, he starts drinking and he becomes an alcoholic and he winds up in the geek show. He still winds up in the geek show, but instead of closing on his face, you know, like accepting his fate as the, you know, the born sucker, mm-hmm. right? It ends with the Rooney Mara character, but, you know, not Rooney Mara, obviously, in the 1947 version, rushing into the carnival and saving him, you know, the power of true love redeeming him. And I would be curious to get JBL's take on that version, because it's very sappy.
That's a 1947 movie, right?
It's a movie from 1947. Yeah,
right. You could see, had it been made in 1958 or 1960, maybe it would have been more hard-boiled, uh-huh. right?
And
it would,
70.
And right, certainly by the time you get to 70. Yeah.
Now, that makes sense. I don't know. I mean, did you... Sonny, I don't think I've ever heard you talk about the human condition before. I'd like to go back to that.
The human condition is
you get a little bonus here, a little seminar
full
here.
full of darkness, and like this is I think people are basically evil, and the only thing keeping us from like really turning against each other are the strictures of society,
copyright law,
and the threat of force, by whether it's the FBI kicking in your door because you've stolen a DVD off the internet or whatever. Like The threat of state violence and other social violences is the only thing keeping us all in line, and I think this movie does a very good job of getting at the heart of grifterdom, which I think is a not insubstantial problem in our current moment.
Did you like you mentioned Guillermo del Toro and known for set design and stuff. Did you enjoy the sets?
Oh yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a great looking movie. Yeah. I admit even JBL must admit that this is like more even than the carnival scene, the set I liked the most was Cate Blanchett's office. Oh. That amazing Art Deco.
Yeah.
Like super stylized shelf and lounge chairs and all the, you know, little details around the. I thought it's like the office I would want to live in while I'm stealing money from the rubes who come and tell me their secrets.
You got to record them. The nightclub and the hotel where they're staying. It's very much. I mean, I lived in the Kennedy Warren is an Art Deco building in Washington D.C. and it's all that very much done. That was built in the 1930s, and I thought. It almost had a weird Shining feel to it in the style, because I think the inside of the Overlook was also very Art Deco at that time, and you know there are a lot of comparisons to that. As for the cast, you mentioned the cast. I think it's great. Ron Perlman is great. There are moments where these characters are very, you know, they're very likable, and then other times where they're just complete. They lack complete empathy. Like the geek is just, oh, don't worry about him, you know. But otherwise, he seems so likable. I'd love to have a stake.
Don't
with
pretend you have a conscience
right,
now.
Right. And everybody is great. And then we get to Cate Blanchett, and I was perfectly fine. I was willing to go down this road. It's like, oh yeah, she's playing this role, very noir, Lilith, the whole thing, as you said, a little on the nose. But then I keep on thinking about what our friend Pod said, and it started to make me question, is she really that good?
You know,
is this the difference, as you mentioned this from time to time with certain performances, is she acting or is she doing an impression?
So our whole thing for the last couple weeks about Cate Blanchett is because John Podhoretz hates Cate Blanchett, and we were razzing him. I think she's genuinely great, and go to Thor Ragnarok, she plays the villain, and she's wearing these ridiculous antlers and a cat suit, and she's got this weird eyeshadow underneath her eyes.
Hot goth.
unbelievably hot goth. And there's this amazing scene with her and who's the Australian dude who is the horseman in the Lord of the Rings who plays the...
Oh, yeah. I don't know his name, but I know he becomes her, like, right-hand man.
Right. And so she offers him the job of being her executioner. He goes, executioner? Carl something, right? He goes, execution? Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to execute? And she's just like, well, you know, my vision, but mostly people. It's so funny. I mean, she's...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Carl Urban?
Carl Urban. Yeah, it's Carl Urban. You know, she's great. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. She's great.
She's great. There's no need to apologize.
I don't know.
She's great in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yes. Galadriel.
Great in Kate and Leopold. Great in Pushing Tin.
Kate and Leopold,
where she's with a young Hugh Jackman. The two of them are Australian actors, very, very early in their careers.
Who is she in Kate and Leopold?
Maybe they're not Kate and Leopold.
That's Meg Ryan. You think of Meg Ryan and Hugh Jackman?
There's a young Hugh Jackman and Kate Blanchett movie where they're like they're sailing a glass palace down a river.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, she's
and
great.
Also she played Kate Hepburn too. In The Aviator.
She was in one of the all-time great quadrant movies with Rooney Mara. Carol.
Oh, I haven't seen... Oh, I can see that.
You should go to Daily Lotion.
That was one of my joke writers. I didn't invent that. That's Josh Christensen, Daily Lotion. I would say this, which is also interesting about the character of Stanton Carlyle, because, you know, he's technically the protagonist, right? He's the guy we're following. He's not a good person. He is responsible for
bad person.
He's responsible for six deaths.
He's a bad person.
Two inadvertently, and then
everybody in this
else.
Movie is a bad person.
Is Rooney Mara's character a bad person?
Good question.
Rooney Mara is still a bad person. She's a grifter who is stealing from people in the carnival. Like she's the least bad of the.
I
bad
don't know.
People.
Toni Collette, I like her too. And what does she say? Don't.
Another
don't,
grifter
don't,
though.
Don't
another
spook them, right? Don't. What's the term? What do they say?
She the spook show. Yeah. She doesn't want to. She tells. She warns them off. David Strathairn
too.
But she's still grifting everybody.
You know the way I see it is that I'm paying for entertainment.
Like, I'm sorry. Just understanding that you have having enough self knowledge to know that you are a grifter who has a mark and that there's only so far you're going to take it
does
and,
not make
you. You'll apologize to them and like tell them that there isn't actually a ghost over their shoulder. That doesn't make you a good person. Doesn't make you a good person.
I want to like somebody in this.
So
come on, help me out.
Let
here.
Me
give me
let
somebody.
Me,
somebody's got
the best person. The best person in this is the guy from Mindhunter. And Fight Club.
Is it the guard Anderson?
Yeah, Grindel's guard.
Terrifying.
He's
terrifying.
He's the
fella.
Only. He's the closest thing to a good person.
I assume. I don't know. Maybe
loyal.
Yeah.
He's loyal, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he is, and he's correct in his read on everyone.
Yes. Now, here's my question: maybe they'll tell this in the book because he makes a reference to like he owes him everything, and he has a great line where that should worry you know if you think about it that should worry you or something to that effect. I want to know what Grindel saved him for. Like what was his story? That would be an interesting thing.
So we have Nightmare Alley with its view of the Carny folk as. Every single one of them is a grifter, and without realizing it, also a mark, right? I think this is what you're getting at, Sonny, right? Is that every grifter is also a
basically.
Mark.
Basically. Well,
potentially.
Yes. Well, you don't want to fool yourself into thinking that you can't be the mark.
And that is in tension with The Greatest Showman, which views the carny folk, the circus folk, as all just a big family who are
definitely
intentionally
a family.
Providing
there's a reason
entertainment.
That there's a reason the Hugh Jackman version of Carney's made $200 million or whatever, and this one made 10.
I think I am more inclined to go with The Greatest Showman view of humanity.
How dare you? You don't actually believe
No, actually
no,
reversed.
I really believe it.
It's
I think
actually
I believe
should
it.
Be reversed. I
you,
can't believe this.
Believe,
come on. Only
believe,
I would believe
you,
that.
You, the reason you don't like Nightmare Alley is because you realize that it is in tune with you. Because you understand that this is like a reflection of your truest idea of humanity.
Right. That's right. He looks Maybe. At it. It's the way he...
All right, listen, okay. Before we get off of this, before we get off of this, I need a greater than, lesser than sign from each of you. Rooney Mara, Kate Mara.
Oh, greater. Rooney Mara, greater sign, Kate Mara. Kate Mara would be great. Kate Mara would be great in a Planet of the Apes movie. She wouldn't need any makeup.
What?
She looks like a little monkey. She's like,
oh my goodness.
That's the worst take you've ever had. I'm just talking about her face.
The rest of it's fine.
That's a tough one. Are we talking strictly about appearance? Or are we talking about like
Rooney's at least
about
their value as a human being?
Body of work, etc.
Value as a human being. Is what I meant.
Now I feel bad.
Well, I don't know either of them, so I can't possibly answer that question. I think Rooney Mara has a more impressive body of work than Kate Mara.
I would say Rooney Mara has the advantage over Kate in that she has a very distinctive look,
mm-hmm.
which allows her to. I mean, Kate Mara, I think, contra Victorino, looks a lot like most starlets. Like
Vic is a deranged brute. She looks like a monkey.
I'm not one to talk with my nose, but she's ridiculous. I mean, a hot monkey, but you know, nevertheless.
Like one of those little capuchin
monkeys. Yeah, yeah, I'll take that.
You know, the first time I noticed Rooney Mara was in The Social Network.
Yeah, right. She's in the opening scene.
And in the closing scene.
Yes.
One of these, you know, no small parts, only small actors.
That's right.
Even in those two little scenes, I just thought to myself, I don't know who this actress is, but she's doing something interesting here with this part and something way more than the movie really requires from that role. And I think about Mackenzie Davis, who, from Blade Runner 2049, Terminator, Dark Fate, I first noticed in The Martian, who has a very, very small part as one of the Nash people in The Martian, but yet she clearly has something going on, you know? And
no small part.
I don't know. I think Rooney Mara is pretty great, but everything I've ever seen Kate Mara in, I've really liked her.
So, yeah, I think Kate Mara is fine.
She's like, handicapped by looking like a generic starlet, where Rooney Mara does not have that. No?
Spirit of the week, corrections, shout-outs. I have a correction.
I'm drinking something new.
Wow.
I was in the grocery store. Hardywood had a new concoction, and I love Hardywood so much that I literally just buy anything they put out. I'll try it. This is a raspberry stout. It's fine. I like it. It's not great. I wouldn't go crazy for it, but it's very nice.
You like your fruit beers. Correction, listener and friend Ryan Shinkel reminds us the Ed Zwick movie we were talking about with Daniel Craig was Defiance. We said Resistance. It's Defiance. Okay. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at SunnyBunch, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time.
I kind of can't wait for the bonus show because I have so many questions for the two of you.
We have questions for you, and we were very concerned for you.
It's going to be amazing.
Well, you know what they say, what happens on the bonus episode stays in the bonus episode.
I'm sure it's fine.